I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat." And I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key said, watching it right and say, 'Can you see?' And it got a bad rip in New Orleans, with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on though." She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape with the shape she's in. She's been through the fire before, and I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning, we take her down every night, we don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her up right. On second thought, I do like to brag, 'cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
What you are about to hear, the views and opinions expressed on the Philip D. Blackman Show do not reflect the views of this station. You have been warned.
I'm former Vice President Joe Biden. The Philip D. Blackman Show is going to kick me in the nuts tonight because I suck as a president. Enjoy the show as I try to remember who shit in my pants.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Philip D. Blackman, host of the Philip D. Blackman Show. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right here at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. But in the meantime, friends, buckle up, get your mind right, and get ready for the fastest hour in radio. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get it started.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. Happy Hump Day. Man, I'm honored to have you guys join me tonight because we are going to be coming at the gun control activist as hard as I can. So, guys, thank you so much for joining me. You know, over the past several years, the political left, and it's, of course, been led by the great Messiah, the commander-in-chief from the bunkers of the White House himself, led by Joe Biden. He's been calling for more gun control measures in an effort to stop some mass shootings. But, you know, Joe Biden, you know, he went so far along as to say that gun violence is a public health epidemic. You know, and I think this perhaps maybe he's trying to set the stage for government overreach once again, like we saw in the response in 2020 from a certain pandemic that shall not be named. But man, I'm telling you, friends, this is the idea of creating another public health emergency. It should alarm a lot of people. You know, with the tragedies in Buffalo, New York, Uvalde, Texas, and the strings of shootings over Memorial Day weekend, we're seeing more and more politicians in the media and of course, the reactionary citizens calling for more gun control. And this knee-jerk reaction falsely claiming that more gun control is going to stop criminals and mass shootings. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on the Philip D. Blackman Show, we are going to destroy their narrative. We're going to kick it right in the ass and do it the only way that I know how. But for those of you who are tuned in all over social media, guys, thank you so much for joining me. We do have our Facebook. It is up and running at the Philip D. Blackman Show. We also have our channel up on YouTube where a lot of you guys are joining me tonight at the Philip D. Blackman Show. Give us a like, a subscribe, and share this video. You might want to actually share this one because this is going to help you give you the armor that you need to really shoot down some of that negative bullshit that's happening in the media. And, of course, we are on Twitter at the PDB Show. IPM Nation, we're broadcasting for the first time on a Wednesday night, guys. I'm so happy to be taking this slot. So, guys, welcome, welcome. We're all talk online. Part of it and AOW Radio Network, all these radio stations. If you're joining from any of these platforms, guys, thank you so much. And of course, man, we're back. Military Broadcast Radio. we had a change of command there, so I'm pretty stoked about that. So I'm glad to be back with my veteran population. But guys, if you're interested in joining the show and joining the conversation, call or text the number on my screen at 409-245-9753. Again, for my listeners across the airwaves, that is 409-245-9753. So to all my listeners across the nation and around the globe, thank you so much for tuning in. Episode number 252, The Gun Control Farce is what we're calling it. Now, friends, for my first time listeners, we've dedicated the opening segment of each show, and we call it End of Watch. This is our way of honoring our fallen men and women in the law enforcement community. Last year, 2021, we lost 625 officers in the line of duty. And as of this show, we've lost 110 officers in 2022, and that's according to the Officer Down Memorial page. We support our law enforcement. We appreciate their decision to step into that thankless job. And we recognize that when a police officer is killed, not an agency that loses an officer, it is entire nation. We mourn them all. We honor all of our officers who serve, and we highlight a different officer every week, beginning with our Monday show. This week, friends, we're going to continue covering down on Border Patrol agent Daniel Salazar in this opening segment, End of Watch.
The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Border Patrol agent Daniel Salazar, 40, who was killed on May 13th, 2022, after a single vehicle crash while he was responding to a sensor activation call. Agent Salazar served the Department of Homeland Security for 4 honorable years and was assigned to the El Cajon Station in California. Chief Patrol Agent Aaron Heitke said, "Friday morning, we lost our friend and brother, Border Patrol Agent Daniel Salazar, who tragically passed away while protecting America. Danny was a son, brother, husband, and father. Please keep Agent Daniel Salazar and his family in your prayers." Agent Salazar is survived by his wife, son, and his entire family to carry on his legacy. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackman Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Agent Salazar. Department of Homeland Security Border Patrol Agent Daniel Salazar. End of watch, May 13th, 2022. Rest in peace, Agent.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are proudly sponsored by One-of-a-Kind Art, created by professional artist Tammy Blackman. Tammy offers free consultations and will customize your art piece to fit your needs. Each of her pieces, as the name suggests, is one-of-a-kind because each are personalized pieces, and once she's done, there will never be another. If you're interested, go to visit Tammy on her TikTok page at one-of-a-kind-art43 and either leave her a message or watch as she creates another custom piece in pencil or canvas for another satisfied customer. You can always reach out to the Philip D. Blackman Show or call 409-245-9753. Although the prices vary, the quality is unmatched. Again, this page is one of a kind with underscores between each word, followed by the word art 43. So again, thank you, Tammy, for another presence on the Philip D. Blackman Show with one of a kind art 43.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Ronnie, how happy are folks who save hundreds of dollars switching to Geico?
I'd say happier than a camel on Wednesday.
Hump day!
Get happy. Yeah. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right, Infidel. So, hey, thank you again for joining me for this happy hump day, guys. Happy Wednesday. Man, I'm very happy to be a part of the show. I mean, I missed you guys on Monday because I was obviously, I was in Houston being a part of some Memorial Day ceremonies, and it was just amazing. I've shared the videos, and I will continue to do so and give you a better transcript because I do know the audio was somewhat skeptical. So, but I think it was a great speech. I think it was a great opportunity and a great moment. And I definitely want to share it with my listeners. So, guys, again, thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, episode 252 of the Gun Control Farce. You know, so here it is. So it seems, you know, to the casual observer passerby that the media cycle, it really is all about reporting on the daily basis of mass shootings that's been taking place in the United States. Buffalo, New York, Uvalde, Texas, and now Charleston, South Carolina. They're just the most recent. So if you haven't heard about Charleston, a 17-year-old little girl, she was among 10 people that was injured following a mass shooting, surprise, surprise, at a party on Monday evening. So the incident unfolded as officers, they were dispatched. They were going to the area where the party was going regarding a noise complaint. And when they arrived on scene, the police officers received gunfire. The police chief, Luther Reynolds, his name, he reported at the press conference that the officers immediately took gunfire with two shots going into his cruiser. And he said, quote, "Let me tell you something. As we stand here right now, we're lucky we don't have a dead cop or dead citizens or dead community members." Of course, that is, you know, a mass shooting is never a good thing to happen. But, you know, to be able to report that nobody's dead, that's always a victory. Now, the officers that they remained in the cruiser, which were struck by several bullets, at least two entered the vehicle and one landed at the headrest of the driver's seat. So the officer that was fired upon, he suffered minor injuries from the glass that broke as the bullets entered. Now, four people, according to reports, four people were critically injured during the shooting. And then it overflowed into the surrounding community and multiple people suffered gunshots. So the Charleston mayor, John Tecklenburg, that's a hell of a name for you. He said, and this is kind of what jump-started this show. He said the downtown shooting was the latest in 230 mass shootings in the United States so far this year. He says, quote, "It's May 31, and that's day number 151. And that means there's just over 1.5 mass shootings per day in America. Every 16 hours in our country," he says, "there's a mass shooting." Think about that, y'all. Every 16 hours in America, there's a mass shooting. He goes on to say, "Well, I don't know about you, but I'm angry about it. I'm mad about it. I'm fed up. And I concur with many of our citizens here across the country that enough is enough. Thankfully, we're counting our blessings that no one in this incident was killed." Okay, we're going to get to that. So the New York Post goes on and writes an article talking about Memorial Day.
Now, Memorial Day is a day where we honor, where the nation pauses for a moment to honor the service members who gave the ultimate sacrifice for this great nation. And it was given even in a further dark tone with at least 14 reported mass shootings that erupted across the United States, which left 8 dead and 59 wounded. So in the spate of these gun attacks from Nevada, Texas, Pennsylvania, they broke out amid calls for gun control. That's what we're hearing, right? That is the never let a good crisis go to waste. Gun control is what they're asking for following the shooting in Uvalde, Texas, that killed 19 students and two teachers. The deadliest Memorial Day weekend shooting, it actually occurred in Monday evening in Pennsylvania or in Philadelphia when two people were killed and another two were wounded is multiple gunmen. That's the word. Multiple gunmen opened fire at a holiday event. Now, the victims included a 16-year-old girl, a 21-year-old woman who died from their wounds. They gathered for the event in Philadelphia's Port Richmond section. Now, two other victims, aged 14 and 21, they were also shot in the shoulder and leg, respectively, at the scene, where 47 spent shell casings were recovered, and investigators believe that multiple shooters opened fire with several different weapons. They haven't identified the weapons just yet. In Benton Harbor, Michigan, one person was killed and six others were wounded when gunfire broke out in a liquor store near Monday. Marlon Tyree Bowman, 19-year-old man, he died at the scene from multiple gunshot wounds to his chest. Another seven people were injured on Sunday in Henderson, Nevada, when bikers with the Hells Angels, the Vagos, and the Outlaws got in a shootout on highway just 17 miles from Las Vegas. Wait a minute. You're telling me that gang members are contributing to the mass shooting index? Wow. You know, the first mass shooting of the holiday weekend, it took place earlier in Memphis where four people were wounded. And that's according to the Gun Violence Archive. That's where I'm getting this information, which defines the incidents as at least four people being shot or killed, excluding the shooter. Now, all throughout the United States, the New York Post reports that five mass shootings occurred on Saturday, followed by seven on Sunday and two on Monday. At least 17 mass shootings have been tallied throughout the U.S. in the week since the Uvalde bloodbath. Now, during that time, there have been various calls for gun control. We're hearing it from everyone. A lot of Democratic governors surveyed by the Associated Press following the Uvalde shooting, they said that they believe that people under the age of 21 should be barred from buying semi-automatic guns, as well as ammunition being limited to no more than 10 rounds. Kind of seems that's the common talking point that we're hearing so far. And look, I have no problem with it so far. You know, if you want to, you know, if people can't drink, then, you know, sure, I agree. They shouldn't be able to buy their own firearm until they're 21 years old. I understand that. I think I accept that notion because, but at the same time, if you're able to join your country, if you're able to join the military and serve your country at 18 years old, that should be part of it. You should be able to have that. The argument I see can go both ways, but for 18-year-olds to be able to drink instead of having to wait to 21, if you're old enough to serve your country, you're old enough to have a beer. That's just my opinion. Now, Salvador Ramos, we're still hearing a lot of information about the Uvalde shooter who brought weapons that he used in his attack that he had purchased just after his 18th birthday. Now, the Republican governors who've responded to the Associated Press, Vermont's Phil Scott said that he supported gun control efforts. Now, Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy said no when he was asked if he backed bullet limits. He says, quote, stricter gun laws are not a solution to this problem. We must focus our attention on the status of mental health in our communities. Now, look, anyone who participates in a mass shooting, much less a mass shooting of kids, I'm going to argue that there has to be something mentally off to be able to be that calloused and kill children. But there's been zero evidence anywhere that has suggested that the Uvalde shooter had mental health issues. There's been people saying, well, he's transgender. No evidence. There's people saying he was bullied in school. No evidence. These are all just go-to talking points. And what I think it does and what irritates me about this argument about mental health and these mass shootings is you're diluting the idea. You're saying that now, because we have politicians calling for, hey, there needs to be a mental health screening before you purchase a gun. I would love to have that conversation with anybody who's willing to have it. Because I think it's horseshit, personally. That's my opinion. But hey, 409-245-9753, that's your option. You know, the holidays, they always seem to have more mass shootings because you got large groups of people gathering for a party where there's alcohol and, hey, let's face it, there are guns. The 14 mass shootings tallied over the Memorial Day weekend, it was not unusual. It was, you know, every holiday we have this type of thing happen. You know, roughly we've been given, you know, one per day in the U.S. on average in the last few years. Now, bad things happen when alcohol, people, and gun mix, but I don't really believe that the number of mass shootings is going to necessarily rise during the upcoming summer months. Now, the summer is coming, July 4th weekend, and we're probably going to see some more mass shootings. But I don't see this as a harbinger of worse things to come. But the one thing that does concern me is that we've seen a surge in gun purchasing, and it's hard to commit mass shootings without a gun, obviously. But it brings me to the point of contention that policymakers and the media, they're failing to tell the full story on the topic of mass shootings. I mean, I really believe there's an unbelievable movement in the conversations that are taking place in this country about mass shootings and the safety of our kids since the shooting at Robb Elementary. Now, I'm not going to go very far down that rabbit hole and, you know, covering the Uvalde shooting again, because there's a lot of information been coming out with much of it being fake news. I'm not disputing the event that happened, and I'm not disputing the reported deaths that happened. But what I found to be debunked is the information about the shooter being transgender, a bullied kid who has psychological issues, and again, zero evidence to support any of these notions. The only thing that we know is the shooter accessed the school grounds via an open side door of the school building. We also know the Uvalde Police Department waited over 30 minutes to breach the classroom while the suspect barricaded himself in the classroom where all the victims were located. There's still a lot of information that's got to come out before we start making decisions and passing blame, but it's not looking very good for the local police department there and their lack of response. As a matter of fact, the Uvalde Police Department is no longer cooperating with Texas authorities. It's very suspect. It's suspect as hell considering the chief of police of the Uvalde ISD, they prevented nearly 24 officers from forcing their way into a classroom. But I believe it's much better to be right in my reporting than to be first. However, with all that talk about mass shootings in this country happening at the rate of 1.5 per day, as Mayor John Ticklebird laid out, man, I got to tell you, the talking heads are parroting that same notion. And it's important we look at the statistics of mass shootings in this country and try to identify if more gun control is indeed the right answer, so like that many are calling for. And I'd like to do what I can to expel this notion that more gun control legislation is not going to solve mass shooting problems that we got in this country. And that right there, friends, is the topic of this segment, The Breakdown. All right. So I've been watching my social media feed, and I've been listening to politicians discuss gun control measures and their importance as if they are keepers of the keys to the mint. I can fix it today is what they'll tell you. Yeah, I've been hearing this anecdotal evidence and explanations regarding all the reasons why more gun control is the answer instead of doing a better job utilizing the laws that are already in place. So the purpose of this segment is to answer many of the most common complaints and calls for actions as not doable and ineffective. You know, as emotions, they morph from grief to anger and then to resolve. It's vitally important to supply the facts so that policymakers, professionals, and even some of you out there can fashion these solutions based on objective data rather than well-intended but misguided emotional fixes. Are there ways to reduce gun violence in school shootings? Yes. But only after objectively assessing the facts and working collaboratively to fashion common sense solutions. So the definition of mass shootings, it's like the definition of terrorism. It goes everywhere. But mass shooting typically refers to mass killings perpetuated by a firearm or firearms. So in 2013, Congress defined a mass killing, according to Congress. They said that it is three or more killings in a single incident. So a prominent 2017 study had defined mass public shootings as incidents that occur in the absence of other criminal activity, i.e. robberies, drug deals, gang-related turf wars, in which a gun is used to kill four or more victims at a public location. So the first point, and I give you six reasons that I'm going to go through here. So the first one, I guess, is, you know, mass shootings or mass killings, I should say, they're rare. And mass public shootings are even rarer. You know, so here it is. So the mass killings, they are rare, and they accounted for roughly about 0.2% of homicides every year and approximately 1% of all homicide victims. Those are facts. Only 12% of mass killings are mass public shootings. Most mass killings, they're what they call, I've never heard this word before, but they call them familicides, you know, killing of family, I should say. So the family murders or killing of intimate partners and felony related killings such as robberies gone awry and gang related turf battles. But although there's been a slight increase in the frequency of mass public shootings over the past few years, the rates are still very similar to what the U.S. experienced in the late 80s and the early 90s. Many gun control measures, they're not likely to be helpful. That's the reality of it. You know, over 90% of the public mass shootings, they take place in a gun-free zone where civilians are not permitted to carry a firearm. A complete ban on assault weapons, it's going to save very few lives. But again, that whole notion of assault weapons, I don't understand the argument. And the reason why is because what the hell is an assault rifle? I'm waiting on someone to tell me what an assault rifle is, you know. But when you're talking about assault weapons, I mean, Jesus, man, this pen, a knife, gun, hammer, car, all assault weapons, those things kill. And so if we're going to, you know, ban, I mean, when automobiles are responsible for killing more people than guns, why are we not calling for an automatic transmission ban? I don't know. Maybe make everybody drive a standard. That way it's harder to drive for some of you. I don't know. But 6 out of every 10 mass public shootings are carried out by handguns alone. Handguns alone. 6 out of every 10. That's 60%. Only 1 of every 10 is done with a rifle alone. The average age of mass public shooters, 34 years old, which means that increasing the minimum age for purchasing firearms, it wouldn't target the main perpetrators of mass public shootings. Few mass public shootings have used high-capacity magazines, and there's no evidence that the lethality of those attacks would have been affected by the delays of just 2 to 4 seconds to switch out a magazine. And that is slow. 2 to 4 seconds sounds like a lot, but it's slow. But in fact, some of the largest mass shootings in U.S. history, they were carried out by low-capacity weapons. Frank Graybars, he writes in the chat, he says, it's an assault state, Arkansas. So let's look at some of these low-capacity weapons, i.e. the Virginia Tech shooter. He killed 32, injured 17 with 2 handguns, one of which had a 10-round mag and the other had a 15-round mag. He just simply brought 19 extra magazines. 23 people were killed and another 20 were injured in Killeen, Texas cafeteria by a man with 2 9mm handguns capable of maximums of 15 and 17 rounds, respectively. There's another one where a mentally disturbed man armed with 2 handguns and a shotgun, he killed 21 people at San Ysidro McDonald's and injured another 19. The handguns utilized 13 and 20-round mags, and he shot, and the shotgun had a 5-round mag capacity. So public mass shootings, you know, these shooters, they typically have histories of mental illness. But what can you do about it? And I'm interested to hear this conversation. You know, according to one study, 60% of mass public shooters have been diagnosed with a mental disorder or had demonstrated signs of serious mental illness prior to the attack. The Uvalde shooter himself, he even put out on social media what he was going to do before time. But a large body of research, it shows there's a statistical link between mass public killings and serious untreated psychiatric illnesses. But the most commonly diagnosed illness among these mass public shooters is paranoid schizophrenia, severe depression. And it's important to remember that the mass majority of people that with mental disorders, they don't engage in violent behaviors. And there is zero empirical means of effectively identifying a potential mass murderer. I don't give a shit what kind of mental health screening you have in place. There's zero ways to effectively identify them. But this next one, you know, number 4, you know, we hear in the politicians say it a lot, you know, that the United States has an extraordinary problem, mass public shootings compared to other developed countries. And again, that is not true. After adjusting for population differences and really many other developed countries, they typically have worse problems with mass public shootings than the United States ever has. There were 27% more casualties per capita in mass public shootings in the European Union than in the U.S. from 2009 to 2015. mass killers, you know, the next one, you know, mass killers, they often find ways to kill without firearms. And but where's the ban for those? You know, some of the worst mass killings in the United States, they've occurred without the use of a single bullet. 2016 Orlando nightclub shooting, the deadliest attack on the LGBT community. It occurred before that in 1973, when there was an arsonist that killed 32 and injured 15 at the Upstairs Lounge in New Orleans. In 1987, a disgruntled former airline employee killed 43 people after he hijacked and intentionally crashed a passenger airplane. 1990, an angry ex-lover burned down the Happy Land Social Club, where his former girlfriend worked, killing 87 others in the process. 1995, 168 people were killed, 600 were injured at the Alf P. Mura building, Timothy McVeigh, the truck bombing. 2017, a man in New York City killed 8, injured 11 by renting a truck and plowing down pedestrians on the Manhattan bike path. We could go on and on. But then we have those people that are talking about, well, look at Australia. They're doing, they've eliminated all mass public shootings by banning assault weapons. Well, that's not true either, is it? Australia didn't eliminate mass public shootings by banning assault weapons. Mass shootings in the country were rare even before the 1996 Firearms Act. And multiple casualty shootings still occurred. But before 1996, firearms crimes in Australia, they rarely involved firearms prohibited under the National Firearms Act, suggesting that any change in firearm-related crimes or death, it was not due to the law. But further, Australia did not see a reduction in mass murders. In the years immediately following the enactment of the National Firearms Act, the country experienced 6 mass murders in which 5 or more people were killed and they were not killed with guns. So my argument to, you know, for calls to for more gun control legislation is simple. Criminals don't care about laws. Period. If they got their mind made up to do something, they're going to do it. Now, I was having a discussion with a commenter about this very notion, and his response was, well, if that's the case, then why aren't more people smoking on airplanes since it's against the law? Ridiculous. I mean, that's the level of argument that you're hearing from these gun control advocates trying to dispel any argument against gun control by deflecting the reality with an example of smoking on an airplane. Now, naturally, guys, I ceased entertaining that conversation because I wasn't interested in teaching a pig to sing. But to highlight my point, gun-free zones only create potential victims because criminals do not care about the laws. It begins with a simple look at Uvalde, Texas. In every state in the United States, murder is illegal, yet murder happens every day. But more specifically, the proponents who argue that more gun laws is the answer and it's going to save the kids from being shot, man, they have obviously not read 18 U.S.C. 921. That's otherwise known as the Gun-Free School Zones Act of 1990. You know, the Gun-Free School Zones Act, it's an act where the U.S. Congress, they prohibited any unauthorized individual from knowingly possessing a loaded or unsecured firearm at a place that the individual knows or has reasonable cause to believe is a school zone, as identified in 18 U.S.C. 921. The law applies to public, private, and regular elementary schools. And looks like we got ourselves a call coming. Let's see if this is a troll or not. All right, caller, welcome to Philip D. Blackman Show. You're live. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Philip?
Hey, how you doing, Billy?
Doing well. Just a few things that I'd like to lay out on the table, too, is, you know, you're talking about gun-free zones and how well gun control has actually worked.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to look any further than the city of Chicago.
Agreed.
I mean, can you imagine living somewhere where every day is Columbine or Sandy Hook or Robb Elementary? That's basically what it is. And this is an area that has the strictest gun control laws in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And just look what goes on there every single day. I mean, criminals, as you said, don't give a damn about the law. And you're not going to keep weapons out of the hands of criminals.
Okay, I agree. So far, I agree. What do you got? I'm waiting on a point to disagree with you.
But, I don't think I have anything to debate or disagree on.
Okay. But you're right. You're right. I mean, Chicago is a great example because that's where a lot of because remember, we're talking about 3 or more people that are shot or killed. And Chicago happens on the daily. So, yeah, I mean, the most staunch gun supporters I mean, what a great example. I mean, when you, especially, you know, and, you know, Chicago's always the go-to bugaboo for everyone. So let's go, let's move from Chicago and look at what's going on in New York City. New York City is another prominent, prominent city that's experiencing unbelievable amounts of crime and shootings and killings. And they're even so far as suggesting, because they have their eye on Canada and what Justin Trudeau is doing, they're arguing that more gun control, that more gun laws, that more gun bans are, is the answer. I don't see that being, I don't see that being possible.
You're never going to stop the black market, or we would have won the war on drugs a long, long time ago.
Preach.
And, what you're talking about, at the very beginning there is called HR 2377. That, the drunk of the house, Nasty Pelosi, will be helping push through. Yeah, she'll be helping push that through the house. There's no doubt that that's gonna go through the house. It's the Senate that's gonna be the question. But a lot of people will think, well, we've got Republicans that will be on our side. But you know, they're now duping to something pretty low, which is bribery. And they said, if you know, you help us push this through, we'll load your bank account. So, you know, we got that to worry about too.
Yeah, absolutely. So so I've got your graphic pulled up, you know, as far as you're wanting to plug the John B. Wells.
Yes, I am. So tonight, right around what is it, 9 p.m. Central,
mm-hmm.
John B. Wells is going to be joined by another voice I think is one of the very best in conservative talk radio on terrestrial radio, of course, and that's Mark Walters. He's the host of Armed American Radio, and you can guarantee that he's going to have a lot to say. Mark is very outspoken and doesn't hold back very much. Obviously, he can't say what he wants because he's on terrestrial radio, but he says enough. And further information, stations, streaming, and all that, you can go to caravantomidnight.com because it's going to be a good show tonight.
Well, I appreciate your call. I appreciate the plug. But Billy, as always, man, it is a pleasure having you on. Thank you for calling in and contributing to this conversation, because it's a conversation we got to get in front of, because people are losing their minds. Their points of contention or argument are laughable at best. But Billy, have yourself a blessed day, man. Thank you so much for calling.
You bet. You take it easy.
All right, buddy. Out. All right, guys. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the point, right? They don't really give a shit about laws. And again, so with murder being illegal and, you know, possessing a firearm on public school grounds, you know, what I was talking about earlier with the with 18 USC 921, you know, the law itself, it applies to all these different schools and private property, or non-private property, I should say, within 1,000 feet. So guns, they're already banning guns at these school zones. So I'm just curious if we think that adding more laws is going to change the narrative, it's going to change the scope. I mean, because really, if murder is illegal and possessing a firearm on school grounds is illegal, you know, I got to yield back to my original argument. More laws are not going to stop the mass shootings, and more laws are not going to stop the murder of innocent people. I would love to tell you that that's going to happen, but it's just not going to happen. And that's a sad reality. I mean, the laws and systems are in place. They are efficient. We just need people that are more willing to enforce these laws. And that right there is the breakdown. Guys, stick around. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back.
Brian, $30.
Hey, that's okay, Wendy. That was a good carry. You're still the man. You're the man.
Latte, $4.
Shake it off, Johnny. Rub some dirt on it.
New piano, $3,000.
All right, guys. They're not saying boo. They're saying movers.
Supporting your team. Priceless.
Go on, Bobby. You still got the best home in the neighborhood.
There are some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard.
This is DCAT, bro.
So color me surprised. Zach Clark, he just brought it up in the chat, and he said that where's it at? He says your Facebook feed says it's expired, which what that's saying, guys, is Facebook has already, I wasn't 5 minutes into my show, and Facebook already shut this conversation down. They don't want anyone talking about it. And that's a damn sad reality, because they shut it down because I'm given a truth that goes against the narrative. So Laura, there it is. Why they shut you down today? Gee whiz. And that's, hey, why are we surprised? But, you know, since Buffalo and Uvalde, Joe Biden has done his damnedest to continue saying from the very beginning, this is quote, from the very beginning that the Second Amendment existed, certain people weren't allowed to have weapons. You couldn't have a cannon. That's his example. And more frightening, he argues that the Second Amendment is not absolute. Joe, you need to, I hope someone tells Joe that Philip Blackman's going live, because in one final thing, I'm gonna kill that. I'm gonna kill that argument. Obviously, it's not going to stop him from parroting, because he still talks about Trump and good people on both sides, but I digress. You know, I've covered it before on my show, and I debunked it then, and I'm going to do it now. Since him and the political left and the rest of the jackasses out there calling for gun control, they continue to argue this debunked notion. The statement, it's just a recycled talking point that he used while he was on the campaign trail, and nobody called him on it then. But last year, one of the questions that Biden was asked was, what was his stance on gun control? And his response then was that he favors outlawing assault weapons. He says, quote, they have no rationale for being owned by individuals on the street. They should be outlawed from the very beginning. You weren't allowed to have certain weapons. You weren't allowed to own a cannon during the Revolutionary War as an individual. But the thing is, that has been proven wrong. You ever heard of privateers, private citizens who took cannons from these from enemy ships? You know, the thing is, the Biden administration and no one can ever speak out and talk and point to a single law or example to support his notion. And he's not alone. You know, there's a lot of historians that say they're doubtful that there were laws to bar an individual from ownership of cannons during the Revolutionary period. Julianne Sweet, she's a historian and the director of director of military studies at Baylor University. She said that it seems highly unlikely there were restrictions on private ownership of cannons. David Coppell, he's another researcher, Second Amendment Project director in the Free Market Independence Institute. He also agreed. He says, quote, I'm not aware of a ban of any arm in colonial America. There were controls of people and locations, but not bans on the type of arms. You know, the legal framework of the colonies was haphazard during the Revolutionary period. At that time, there was no United States, just a bunch of confused former colonials trying to cooperate and often failing to defeat the British Army. Any sort of gun regulations would have been at the local level and therefore incredibly difficult and tedious to chase down. The new states were still writing these new constitutions and probably didn't take this matter into consideration. But however, there is at least one group that owned cannons during the period, privateers. They were privately owned and operated ships and in wartime captured enemy ships for profit. Now, while privateers received a license from the government that allowed them to avoid being prosecuted for piracy, they were not part of the official Navy. So any cannons that they set sail with or that they seized from the enemy, it would be called private property and not the property of the government or the regular military. So to run with that argument from the very beginning that Second Amendment existed, certain people weren't allowed to have weapons, that's completely false. But why in the world am I acting brand new when Joe Biden and company, they're known for regurgitating these talking points that have been proven wrong? I mean, if you remember his assault on Trump with the good people on both sides, it was always BS. But remember, Biden, he prefers truth over facts, even when his truth is manufactured, which I suppose brings me to my favorite part of this show. And I want to discuss this notion of constitutional rights in this last segment that I'm calling One Final Thing. All right, so for those of you out there who are talking about, you know, your constitutional rights, let's make it very clear. You do not have constitutional rights. You have rights. That's it. If you recall in the preamble, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creators with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unalienable. That means it's not being capable of being repudiated. You don't worship as your conscience dictates because the Bill of Rights says you can. You don't speak your mind because of a grant from the government. You don't defend your life, family, and property because the framers saw fit to write the Second Amendment. Most Americans, unfortunately, hold a seventh grade civics notion that the Constitution gives us certain rights. But in fact, the Bill of Rights, it merely sets limits on the federal government, not the citizens. and it makes it clear that it has zero power to infringe on the rights that are already naturally possessed or limit traditionally held privileges such as a trial by jury. Except for a few procedural rights specifically for the trial process, the Bill of Rights, it doesn't actually bestow any rights. You know, the framers considered the Bill of Rights unnecessary, and they argued that the nature of the Constitution rendered it redundant. But, you know, the Constitution itself, it only grants government-specified powers, not you and I. Since the Constitution extends the federal government no power to establish a national religion, they argued that it wasn't necessary to specifically prohibit it. But others felt it was necessary to make explicit certain government limitations to better protect the liberties of the people. The preamble of the Bill of Rights, it clarifies this purpose. The conventions of a number of states having at the time of their adopting the Constitution, they expressed a desire in order to prevent a misconstruction or abuse of powers that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. And as extending the ground of the public confidence in the government will best ensure the benefit ends of its institutions. So the first eight amendments of the Constitution make up the Bill of Rights, specifically the rights and privileges the federal government may or may not in any way abridge. It codifies protections of life, liberty, and property, rights each of us naturally possess. It enshrines specific privileges in the judicial system already accepted by the Anglo-American law. And finally, the Ninth Amendment, it makes the limiting nature of the Constitution very clear. The enumeration of the Constitution, certain rights, it shall not be construed, you know, to deny or disparage others retained by the people. The framers, they wanted to make sure that everyone understood the Constitution only grants feds prescribable, specific, and enumerated powers. The Ninth Amendment, it infers the corollary to this truth. The federal government may not exercise any powers not granted. And it makes it very clear that few rights specifically highlighted in the Bill of Rights, they don't count as an all-inclusive list. The federal government can't exercise any powers other than those that are already granted. So who possesses those powers? Well, the short answer is the states, the people, which is the big reason why they're overturned, why the Roe v. Wade idea, the notion that it's being overturned and now abortion is going to be illegal across the nation. That's not true. All this has to do, ladies and gentlemen, you know, specific to Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court looked at it and said, hey, this is not our fight. This responsibility belongs to the states. The federal government has no right to step in any of this. The responsibility, the laws, the prohibitions, it all belongs to the state. And that's kind of the same notion that we're talking about with the Second Amendment. You know, the powers, they're not delegated by the United States. They're not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor is it protected or prohibited by the states, and they're reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. The Constitution does not give you rights. The Constitution blocks the government from infringing on your already given rights. The 10th Amendment, you know, it's important to understand the Constitution doesn't create rights for anybody. It simply serves as a grant of power to and a blueprint for the structure of the federal government. The rights of the people, they existed long before the founding of the United States. The Bill of Rights clarifies limits to the power of the federal government. It declares that we, the people, retain our rights. And it prescribes that creation of the federal government is no way limits the sovereignty of the states except where specified. These have not been specified. You know, and this may seem like an exercise in semantics, but the subtle difference in the actual intent of the Bill of Rights and the common notion that it serves as a source of rights, it's extremely important. Because if a government can bestow rights, a government can take them away. The Constitution was never intended to give a government that kind of power. It was framed in a way to keep the government from ever exercising that kind of power. Quote, it is the proper object of a written constitution not only to restrain the several branches of the government via the legislative, the executive, and the judiciary departments within their proper limits respectively, but to prohibit the branches united from any attempt to invade that portion of the sovereign power which the people have not delegated to their public functionaries and agents, but have reserved unalienably to themselves. So I see we got a lot of comments here in the chat here. So Tammy Blackman says Biden is still around only sometimes. Tammy, Zach Clark says, do you know why Gunn is better than Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and mainstream media? You can put a silencer on a gun. Lord have mercy, say it again. Tammy Blackman says they are more than happy to be protected by people with firearms. Isn't that funny, Tammy? They, when we're talking about these laws and the laws that they're bringing into this country, and again, guys, if you want to join the conversation, 409-245-9753, or keep lighting up the chat and we'll get your comments as I can. But they bring up, we saw it during COVID. We saw it, you know, any time the government has exercised their mass power. What's good for thee, but not for me, right? You know, with the Affordable Care Act, you know, you got to pass it to see what's in it. And by the way, the United States Congress made sure that they were exempt from the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. But who's watching, right? Frank says, you know what? I want the government to enact strict gun control laws that eliminate private ownership, or that eliminate private, you know, I think it's private ownership. That way they can conduct more gun walking ops like Ops Fast Furious. I might not be able to defend myself. Tammy says, Frank, I said for the very same thing today when Philip and I were talking about this. Oh, there it is, private gun ownership. He goes on to say, exactly, Tammy, we're supposed to believe the government always has our best interest in heart. Ronald Reagan once said, I think it's the 11 famous or the 11 most frightening words. I'm here. I'm from the government. I'm here to help. You know, it's not 11, but I lost my count while I'm trying to produce it. But you're right. Absolutely. And Laura says that this one is going to get stomped all over. And it is. And unfortunately, we have these people who want to continue to argue that we need more gun control. Well, I hope that there's someone out there watching who believes that we need more gun control. I would love to talk to you. Again, there's the phone number on the screen. I'd love to have the conversation because, look, I don't believe I have the answer to everything, but I do want to have these conversations with no shit gun control activists, people who believe we need more. There's no law that's going to stop it. People are going to do what they want when they want. Again, go back to prisons. They're gun-free. Those are gun-free zones, but somehow these criminals manage to find unique and entertaining ways for themselves to kill their fellow inmates. We don't have a gun problem. We have a people problem. There's no amount of laws or legislation or red flag laws, especially, you know, hey, if you think that someone's going to harm to themselves or others, call the hotline and we'll go in there and we'll take their guns from them without any form of due process. That's why these red flag laws were so alarming, because there is no law or legislation. Most people understand, you know, they're calling for, you know, this notion in our country where we have people who are overly jumping up and down, wanting more of the government to get in their business. I don't understand that. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't like a lot of government. We didn't want the government stepping in and making laws for us and telling us what we should and shouldn't do, because we know that we're free. We know that the Constitution doesn't give us our rights. It prohibits the rights of the government. That is what the Constitution does. There is no amount of laws that you will ever create anywhere that's going to stop bad people from doing bad things. By creating more gun laws, and especially this notion of gun-free zones, do you think anywhere that anyone, that any criminal is going to go, oh, wait a minute, I better not go in there. It's a gun-free zone. I probably shouldn't do that. No. Murder is illegal, but yet we still have murders happen every day. Shootings are illegal, yet we still have those too. Mass shootings, where you're talking about families. You know, again, remember, the criteria is 3 or 4. I'm still kind of trying to figure out if it's 3 or 4. There's not really been an accepted one. The Congress says it's 4. But if there's more than 4 people that are shot in one single act, then that is a mass shooting. Again, like Billy Painter pointed out when he called in, that shit happens every day in these crime-ridden, Democratic-run towns that have the strongest gun control regulation known to man, and yet they still have a lot of shootings. Tell me, someone please, how is adding more laws going to stop it? How is adding more laws going to slow it down? How is more laws going to change a single thing? I think the issue is, going back to, if we follow the system, if the system is the system works when it works. You know, you don't hear about these these moments, you know, when you read the news and you hear about people having mass shootings that are going on. You don't hear about when the shooter is actually killed, when a bad guy is killed by a good guy with a gun. Now, that's happened. That happened over the weekend. I want to say it was Friday. It happened. A guy opened fire in a crowd. A woman, a female, a lady, pulled out her legally owned firearm, fired her rounds, hit the bad guy, killed him. Nobody else got hurt. Nobody else got shot. Nobody else got injured. Just the shooter. The only way that you're ever going to effectively stop bad guys with guns is to let good guys have guns too. Now, I'm not going to suggest that every good guy with a gun is going to have it in them, because it does. It takes a special moment and a special kind of our individual to move through that moment of fear to be willing to take the life of someone else. But they do exist. But you don't hear about it in the news. They don't cover it in the news. Why? Because it's not panic porn. That's really all it boils down to. Tammy says right here that people cannot be controlled by laws when they have their minds made up. They want to commit a crime. Billy Painter says that woman shot the bad guy was in Charleston, West Virginia. So that kind of proves my point. We don't see the narrative. We don't see the news stories that are coming out where good people with guns are doing everything right. Now, again, some of these gun control nuts that I've had the conversations with, they argue. I tell them, look, man, you know, good guys with guns will always end. Well, good guys with guns have a greater likelihood of incapacitating a bad guy with a gun. You can't create laws that is going to stop bad people from doing bad things. And they said, well, everybody's a law-abiding citizen until they have a murder. Well, there you go. That proves my point. But to have a conversation with a lot of these gun control advocates, man, it is disgusting. It is sad. It's almost, it would be funny if it wasn't so sad, because the level of debate that happens, you know, this notion about we need to put veterans at schools, you know, to protect these schools, the veterans can get it done. No, they can't. And the sad reality is very few veterans have ever discharged their firearm. Very few veterans have ever engaged the enemy in war. Very few. It's a very small percentage out of the grand total of veterans that have been deployed. And even those that have been deployed, and I've seen it with my own two eyes, they don't engage because fear happens. And I'm not gigging my counterparts, you know, who have helped me, you know, throw bullets with the bad guys. You know, they won't even look. They'll just stick their hand, they'll stick their firearm around the corner and just start shooting. They won't aim. They won't engage. Why? This whole notion of having veterans at every school, that is not a fix. And you guys that are promoting this, you need to stop it. If you're going to report on these shootings, it's very important that you are right. Not that you're first, because what's happened since Uvalde? Man, we've seen a lot of people, a lot of news stories, a lot of people going and making their videos and jumping up and down and saying, this is what happened. Do we know what's happened? And going back, these people, a lot of people, if they have any type of journalistic integrity at all, they should all, a lot of you guys who are, you know, who do these shows like I do, you owe it to your listeners, you owe it to yourself to come back and go, hey, I got it wrong. The information that came out was wrong and I shouldn't have put it out. But you're not going to do that because you have zero integrity. That's why I'm not going to get into the details of Uvalde, because the knowns, 19 children, two adults. We know that. A door was open, wasn't shut. A teacher didn't latch the door back, so the door was unsecured. The bad guy went in. Those are knowns. But as far as the time hack and what everybody did and when everybody did it, man, y'all need to slow it down, calm it down a little bit, because you're not doing anything to further the argument. Tammy says in the chat that more laws would only prohibit good people from being able to protect themselves. Absolutely. Billy Painter says, rumor has it the woman in West Virginia is black and the shooter is black, so the story does not fit the narrative. Absolutely. Tammy says, veterans have already served. This is not their responsibility. No, it's not. We need to have, now, if you're a parent and you want to go pull security on your school, fine, do that. I recommend that. Be an involved parent. Hell, don't even go pull security. Just be an involved parent. Pay attention to what your kids are doing. Pay attention to what's being done to them and what's being said to them and what they are doing and saying to other people. Be a parent. All this shit starts in the house. It starts at the kitchen table. That is where all of this whole mess of crime that we're seeing in our country, this is where it is. It happens in the home. That is the nexus of it all. If you want to stop it, maybe you could, I don't know, be a parent. Maybe you could be more proactive. Don't be like the Uvalde shooter who says, don't judge my son. I'm sure he had his reasons for doing what he did. I'd love to have that conversation with him, but of course that's not going to happen. Billy says that Jacob Alboreto deserves more recognition for eliminating the threat. Well, I've seen about 15 different Jacob Alboretos out there again. So that's why we're not going to talk about him, because there's a lot of different narratives coming out and a lot of them are being proven wrong. So, as the information comes out, as the investigations happen, And once we get all of the knowns, then I will cover that show there. But outside of that, ladies and gentlemen, that does it for me. Thank you so much for being a part of this show, carving out a piece of your Wednesday for me to try to provide this analysis to remain consistent in inconvenient truth that people refuse to see. More laws are not going to change anything. You always support free speech and free thinking. Unlike Facebook, you know, here they are, they're shutting down my video because they don't believe in free speech and free thinking. So that is what it is. But until next time, friends, thank you so much for your service and your patriotism to this country. Man, without our men and women in uniform and our veteran community and absolutely great Americans like yourself, this country would be a very different place. We are the only ones who stand between freedom and chaos. So as always, friends, don't let your dog tags dangle on the dirt. Stay on your feet and continue to fight that good fight against everything that's wrong. And if you love your freedom, think a veteran. And if you love your peace, think a police officer. And if you see a first responder in any way, nurses, fire department, whatever, man, give them a handshake and a job well done and let them know that they are loved and we couldn't make it without them. So, guys, we will catch you again every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time as long as I can stay out of Facebook jail doing videos like this. But, guys, God bless each and every one of you. God bless the United States of America. Take care of yourselves, friends. My name is Philip Blackman, and I'm out of here.